Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Fellowship of Christians in the World. Chapter 11. The coming together and the collective should never prevail over the Lord's direction for each Christian. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Fellowship among Christians aims at a relationship where each one of them should be willing to serve one another with respect and according to the gift that God has given them, but also with the awareness or understanding that there are limits in these relationships. A faithful steward to God is not lord over those he or she serves. A steward distributes, shares, or passes on what the Lord instructs him or her to do, but this does not mean that one has the right to determine the course of life of those who the steward served. The scriptures explicitly teach us that each person will give an account of oneself to God, and, therefore, others may be instructed by the Lord to help them with some of their needs, but, ultimately, it is their individual decisions that will manifest the position of each person before God. Therefore, among its main aspects, the fellowship among fellow believers should be focused on the encouragement they make to each other so that each one remains in the faith in God and the exaltation of the Lord so that all individually keep their eyes continually on Christ Jesus. The fellowship of Christians has as one of its central points the cooperation so that everyone is strengthened in the Lord, the one who is all and in all, and the one who should be the first love of every Christian who is in Christ. However, deciding whether or not to follow a specific path is up to each person to choose through one's personal relationship with the Lord. Similarly, a person should not be forced to meet with other Christians, nor should one be treated with threats when one does not do it, for not even the Lord oneself compels a person to have a personal relationship with him, let alone he forces a person to have fellowship with one's fellow believers. Christians who have more recently received the gospel may learn from more experienced Christians, bearing in mind that some of the latter may even come to be called elders because of their exemplary Christian life for more extended periods than those who have recently become believers in the Lord. And the elders, in turn, may admonish the younger ones, offering them the example of a life of faith in God and sharing the teachings of the Lord that are due to all Christians. However, even so, the elders are not called to try to impose their will on the younger ones, nor the younger ones to make the individual decisions of their lives based on the elders, but on Christ. What the Lord instructs Christians to imitate from Christians who are faithful examples of faith in the Lord to others is the very example of faith or trust that they place directly and individually in the Lord Himself, and not to see others as an option to become heads over their lives. In the Church of Christ, everyone is instructed to seek growth in their one head, Christ, and to seek to be guided by the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And this is what the more experienced should teach those who more recently received salvation from the Lord. And it is the instruction to seek Christ personally and directly that the more experienced ones suggest that the younger ones should follow. And yet, just as some Christians should not try to prevail over others so that their will is fulfilled in their fellow men, so the whole group that comes together is not called to rise to collectively impose a majority's will on a minority or the life of a particular Christian. Although some exhortation or warning of some more experienced people in the faith or some suggestion that arises from the collective may contain God's wisdom and teaching for a group of Christians, the personal decision to follow God's will is still a matter of a personal decision between a child of God and the Lord. Romans 14:7-12, and verse 22. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. The thought of making the collective prevail over the individual is a concept of human assemblies and associations that establish their statutes and acts by vote. However, the Church of Christ is not a human assembly or association. The body of Christ has a head that reigns over it, and it has the Spirit of the Lord working in the hearts of each of its members to instruct and guide them in all truth.